don't think anything weird if you drive up in the church sometime and preachers passed out in the truck, okay? Because sometimes I take what I call battle naps. You know, for the battle naps, you know, if I'm busy, got different things going on. I pulled this today. Boy, it was a nice, beautiful breeze. I parked right up under that shade tree and let my seat back. Boy, I conked out for about 10 minutes. Woke up, felt like I'd slept for about 30 or maybe even an hour. I was ready to go. And so please don't be alarmed if you come and you see Pastor passed out in the truck, okay? I'm okay. The only thing I was really afraid of, I have to be honest with you, is Brother Mike Swaffer coming up and scaring me. That was the only thing that crossed my mind that possibly could happen. But boy, what a beautiful day, beautiful weather. Thank God for it. And thank you for your prayers and your faithfulness. Pray for Joanna. I tell you what, she really has been taking it recently. She's gotten sick again, and this time it's more of a fever type thing. I don't know if it's a cold that she has, but pray for her and her continual health. She did come this morning, and she said, boy, she sat down in the pew. She didn't know if she had made the right decision. She said she felt so bad, but she's getting some rest, and pray for her. And I know that that she'll appreciate it, and pray especially that she'll get well before Saturday, the ladies' luncheon, because she is the actual one giving the devotional. And we want her to be nice and healthy, feeling strong. And I know that she'll be a real encouragement and blessing, but we just pray for Joanna and her health and encouragement. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel this evening, book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, that's where we'll be tonight. We're going to pick back up from our last study through this book, and it's been very, very encouraging and enlightening, and just thank God for His Word, and especially the book of Daniel. As we work through this book, it has truly been a blessing to me. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us. We'll be starting off here in a moment, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. But let's go ahead and ask the Lord's help. Father, thank You again for this beautiful day. I thank You, Father, for this church. Lord, I love these people. They're such a blessing to me and Joanna. And Lord, just pray that You would continue to encourage them as they walk with You. Lord, as they look to You. Oh God, I pray that You'd help us as a church to continually grow, to be unified, and to be strong and active, reaching the multitudes around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to realize that the things that we study and read about prophecy, that it's no playtime, it's not a playground, it's not a fairy tale, it's real, and it's coming. And Lord, please help us to realize our great responsibility. To be about our Father's business in the meantime, preparing for this day, Lord. I do ask that You'd guide us now through the Word. I thank You again for what You're doing, and we do praise You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, here we'll pick up in verse number 9, Daniel chapter 7. Now, you'll remember here, this is Daniel's vision. We talked about the vision of the four earthly thrones, or we could say empires, or dominions or kingdoms that were set up through the earth. We talked about, of course, Babylon, the Medes and Persians and the Grecians, and then the fourth beast with the ten horns we talked about as being the Roman Empire, and how that continues even today of that beast. And we'll get into more of that later on in the chapter, as it will give more details of the fourth beast. But tonight, we move into from the earthly thrones, talking about those, and we're going to move to the heavenly throne, a description of the heavenly throne. Now, you'll remember very specifically that the visions, as compared to the visions that Daniel had in chapter 2, it was specifically from a man's perspective. From a man's perspective. So now we're moving from these visions from God's perspective and God's view. And that's why, of course, we do see the description of the beast and how vile they truly are in the eyes of God, how they have rebelled against God. But now we're going to move into a description about this heavenly throne. Now, specifically, what the picture we see here is a picture of a courtroom. A picture of a time of judgment. And that's what I would title tonight's message is simply this: the celestial courtroom. It's a time where God is putting in place the empires or the thrones that we've talked about for a time of judgment. And we see this celestial courtroom. We see here, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. So he's talked about the beast, the fourth beast, and the little horn, and then verse 9. I beheld, says Daniel, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now that will be our focus tonight about the Ancient of Days, but let's continue reading through verse 10. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Do you see what we have painted here, right here before our eyes from the Word of God? It is a picture of a courtroom, if you will. A celestial courtroom where judgment has been prepared. And the first person that we see of this courtroom is described in the Word of God. And by the way, this name is only used 3 times in all of the Word of God. And it's right here in Daniel chapter 7. And that is the title, The Ancient of Days. And that's who I would consider the coordinator of this courtroom. He's in charge of the courtroom. He's the one that is coordinating and making sure everyone is in their place. Now, we'll talk about the Lord Jesus here soon. He's not the coordinator of the courtroom. That's God the Father who's the coordinator, the Ancient of Days. But then this is going to be the Lord Jesus who carries out the judgment. He will be the instrument that God the Father uses to bring judgment upon these kingdoms. And we'll read more about that here in a moment. But we see here the coordinator of this courtroom. We see the Ancient of Days. His person, this coordinator, his person is God the Father. Now, why do I believe it's God the Father? Well, I take it the most simplified way that I have come to the conviction that this is God the Father is that later on down we'll see the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. And the Son of Man, as we know, is referred to in the Gospel, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who I believe it's referring to there, the Messiah, the Son of Man, King of Kings, Lord Jesus. And He comes to the Father, and we'll study more about that in the next couple Sundays as we get continue this study. But back to the coordinator of this courtroom, His person, the Ancient of Days. That word Ancient of Days, or that term there, refers to the eternality of God. He is the Eternal One. He's always existed. For all eternity, He's always been there, and He has observed all the kingdoms. He knows the ins and outs of the kingdoms. In fact, we'll see later on at the end of this message that not only has He observed the kingdoms of men and their rule, but He has recorded these kingdoms. He's recorded their acts. They're going to be brought back up. I can't imagine that day, but God in His omniscience and having all knowledge and all ability, He has recorded every deed of man. And it will be played back before men one day at the judgment. But we see here, He is the Eternal One. He's not some old man with a cane upstairs. No, He is the One that has always been. He is the Ancient of Days, God the Father. But then we noticed the Ancient of Days. Notice His position. Notice His position there. He goes from there in verse 9, we see the Ancient of Days, it says, did sit. Now, remember, again, the image here is a courtroom image. How many of you have actually been in a courtroom during a trial? How many of you here? Now listen, what was y'all in there for? Tell the truth. Jury duty, I'm sure, for most of us. We've been there for different reasons. I haven't had that privilege yet of jury duty. I don't know when it may come, but I'm sure it will. But we've all been in courtrooms for different reasons, perhaps as witnesses, perhaps whatever the case may be. But it's happened. And we know that when there's a courtroom, we know that, of course, there's lawyers, and then there's the defendant, and then there's the plaintiff, and all the different roles and whatnot. And but one of the things that you got to remember is, who are the ones being charged here? Well, that's the criminals. Well, who are the criminals? Well, we saw the criminals there in verse number 9. He says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. What thrones? The previous four thrones that he was talking about. And by the way, that word cast down there carries the idea of being set in place. There, it doesn't mean that they were being destroyed right then, okay? That will come. But this idea of cast down, it means to be put in position for judgment. And that's exactly what everything is in place right now. And the judge, the father, he is coming on scene, the coordinator of this. He comes and he sits. Now, when the judge comes in the courtroom, of course we know there's great respect and great reverence for that judge and his position. In fact, it is custom for all in the courtroom to stand, okay, out of respect for the judge. He comes in and he is the centerpiece. He sits higher than everyone else. He's observing the courtroom, and he is the one in charge. He's coordinating and making sure he's keeping everybody at tabs. He's keeping everyone under control, the lawyers and all those, the jury, who, if they're there, that's his responsibility. And we see here that position that he's, the Word of God says that he did sit. That carries the idea of authority. The Ancient of Days has a position of authority. He has all authority. He is God Almighty. And as He enters this courtroom, if you will, this celestial courtroom, He is coming in with great authority. In fact, all authority. His position we see. But not only do we see His person, the Ancient of Days, and not only do we see His position, but thirdly, I want us to see His purity. Look at the purity of God the Father here, of the Ancient of Days. It says here, whose garment was white as snow. All right? His garment was white as snow. That speaks of purity. That speaks of cleanness, of without defilement, undefiled. It is completely pure, and that's exactly what it is speaking of. But it goes further than that. It says here in the Word of God that His garment was white as snow, without any blemish. And then it says, and the hair of His head like the pure wool. All right, you see here what it's referring to. It's talking about His purity, His righteousness. Listen, our God is a righteous judge. He is not unfair. He doesn't take sides. The Bible says He is no respecter of persons. Listen, judgment is equal. It's all according to His Word and to His character, which is pure and just. And that's why we read about in the book of Genesis, as Abraham was wondering about whether or not God was going to do right, and the quote is, shall not the judge of all earth do right? And we know the answer to that. God will do right because He is pure. And in every way possible. You notice even in probably maybe in the U.S., I don't know, but I do know in Great Britain, it was very common for judges years ago. Maybe they still do it, for all I know. But they did wear, the judges in the courtroom wore their white wigs. And I always thought they looked kind of funny, to be honest with you. There were little curls on there. That was always a little funny to me. But where they got that from is I believe, referring to the pureness, as the Word of God says, a hair of His head like pure wool. They wanted to be represented with pureness, with righteousness, being a fair judge, a right judge, not taking sides, being right. And we know that our judge, God, will do right. Now, some will say, well, doesn't Christ carry some of these same identifications in the Word of God? Isn't He referred to as one that is pure and garments being white? Yes, it does. But you see, dear friend, there's no contradiction there. Because here's the thing. Though they are different in their person and the Godhead, there is no competition for the glory. There is no competition for the righteousness. They are both pure. They are equally pure. They are equally glorified. They carry the glory. And there's no competition for that. And so we see here that it's referring to the Ancient of Days. And we'll see again in the Word of God how the same description goes for our Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's very interesting there that we see the description of His purity. But then fourthly, I want us to see a description of the coordinator of this courtroom, the Ancient of Days. I want us to see His purging. Now this is where judgment will come into place, and He's going to do some purging. And look there again in our Scripture, and it says here in verse number 9, after it describes His purity, He says His throne was like the fiery flame, and His wheels as burning fire. And in verse 10, the very beginning, a fiery stream issued and came forth from Him. Now, in most cases in the Word of God, many times fire is referenced with judgment. Carries the idea of judgment and the Word of God. We see His throne is a fiery flame, the wheels of burning fire. It's symbolic for judgment and the Word of God. But it also speaks of glory. It also speaks of the glory of God when we see fire in Scripture. You remember the burning bush with Moses there. Symbolic to the glory and power of God. And then we think of the judgment of God through fire in Deuteronomy. In fact, why don't you just look over there real quick with me. Hold your place in the book of Daniel and go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse 24. Deuteronomy. Chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise up, the Word of God says. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with the battle. I think I've written down the wrong scripture. Go over with me to chapter 9, verse 3. I apologize about that. I wrote down the wrong reference. Chapter 9, verse 3. Speaking of the judgment and fire being symbolic of judgment, here we are in chapter 9, verse 3. It says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Now get this. As a consuming fire, He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. So here we see fire and is symbolic to judgment, the judgment of God. We see it also in Psalm 19:8. You can just flip right over to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 18, excuse me. Psalm 18, verse 8. Chapter 18, verse 8. We see here, also, the Word of God speaking of this. Psalm 18, verse number 8. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. And the description of God and His power when it comes to judgment. And then, of course, you know, Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. He represents the ability He has to judge, and that it will be with fire and vengeance. There'll be a purging here during this time of these thrones. And by the way, in this celestial courtroom, there will be no lawyer who will be able to stand up or anybody else saying, objection! No. There will be no objection. God will give His judgment, and we'll see here in a minute where that judgment will come from. But there will be most definitely a purging, and these kingdoms will be destroyed, and they will be done away with. They will be separated from righteousness. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because we're going to get in more detail of that, because right now we're just talking about the coordination of this judgment. When we talk about the Son of Man, the one who will actually carry out the judgment, we'll go over to the book of Matthew, and we will look in more in detail and later on in this chapter of how exactly that judgment will take place in detail. But for now, we look at the setting of this and a general description of how this will take place. But there will be a most definite purging. But look at also this coordinator of this courtroom. I'd like to look at, fifthly, his participants. He's got some folks here participating with him. And by the way, it's not just a handful. Look at how many we see here participating, observing, witnessing this celestial courtroom. Look what the Word of God says here. Back in Daniel chapter number 7, we see here in verse number 10, as the fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him, His throne, it says here, thousand thousands ministered unto Him. Now, that is a key word for the indicating that these are angels that he is referring to. Angels are ministering spirits. They are the servants of God. At His beck and call, at His bidding, they are obeying Him immediately. We'll talk more about angels when we get into the book of Daniel chapter 10. Very interesting study, and also relating to spiritual warfare. The very fact that angels are battling over us, even right now, in this world with evil spirits. And there is a real battle raging in that. But we'll see here that this case, we see that angels are before Him. And not just a dozen, or just a few hundred. But it talks about thousand thousands ministering to Him. And then it says, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. We're getting into the area of millions, at least a million. And just it gives an image of scores and scores of the angelic host in glory standing before the celestial courtroom observing the judgment that is about to come. And they will assist in many ways of this judgment, which we will talk more of. But we see here what a scene of this angelic host observing. You know, speaking of angels and being ministering spirits, we know they're referred to specifically as ministering spirits in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13. We see here, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You ever heard of the term guardian angels? They really exist. They really exist. Guardian angels, I believe it. I think we had several with us during the camping trip. I really believe that. We praise the Lord for His protection, but we do. And you may be speaking to an angel sometimes. Now, I know most of us can say, well, at least we know we're not angels, because we've proven otherwise on that. But anyway, we know that they exist. But they're going to be participants on this scene. They're going to be observing, as the Word of God declares. Look over there with me to hold your place in Daniel. Go over to the book of Revelation. The Apostle John here, he gives another description of these hosts of angels around the throne. Look over in Revelation chapter 5, there in the book of Daniel. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Another picture of this angelic host ministering at the throne of God. What a fascinating thought and image to think, even as I'm preaching this message, that the angelic host in glory are ministering to God, praising Him, worshiping Him around the clock, 24/7, singing unto the God of glory. And even now, we know that the angels are ministering spirits. And we'll get into more of that study and doctrine, the doctrine of angels, as we get into chapter 10 as well. But we see here his participants. They're witnessing this. And then lastly tonight, I want us to look at this coordinator, the Ancient of Days. I want us to see his proof. You know, he's going to give judgment. And it's going to be proof at this judgment. And it's going to come from him, his record books. Look there with me in verse number 10, okay? It says here, after all of these thousands and thousands stood before him, look what it says. The judgment was set and the books were opened. That's the record books. That's going to be all the deeds. Now, this is not the book of life, talking where the names are written in the book of life. No, this is talking about the book where God is even now recording the deeds of men, the deeds of these kingdoms through all these years, all the atrocities that have been completed in the name of mankind and the wickedness of their hearts have all been recorded by the pure hand of the Almighty, the Ancient of Days. And it will be brought before them one day, and they will be held accountable for that. A day that should not be looked forward to, that is absolutely for sure. But there will be proof that we see, that we know of, that the things are being recorded. The books were opened. And I want to tell you, God is a perfect recorder. There is no mistake. As bad as I feel sorry for some of you grammatarians out here, and you folks that love the English language and study it and are very very well or very good at it. Let me don't say well, say good, very good at it. I want to tell you, I know sometimes I butcher it, and I apologize for that. That's something I want to work on, and I appreciate anybody, especially my wife. She helps me out a lot. She's like, honey, that's not the way you say that. Okay, thank you, honey. You help me out. But there's a little bit of encouragement to that. D.L. Moody, they used to say he used to slam the King's English, but you know, he had the power of God on him, and he did the best he could, and that's all we can do. But I say all that to say this. God makes no mistakes. He records perfectly. There's no error in His grammar. There's no error in what He's witnessing. He's writing it all down perfectly. And one day when those books are opened, there will be silence in that courtroom, for the exception of the Ancient of Days. And we see here that the books were opened. And we're going to see that there's going to be judgment that's going to come. And we know that the Son of Man is going to come, and He is going to carry out this judgment. But we see the proof here. Hold your place and go over there with me to Matthew chapter 13. In the book of Daniel there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. It says here, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be a wailing and gnashing of teeth." So we see here that with these going back to the angels and being ministering spirits, they will come along with this judgment. And there will be proof at this judgment that we know also in Revelation that there will be one day at the great white throne where the books will be opened. And there will be specific judgment given. And so we know that proof is simply going to be there in this courtroom. And I just want to say here tonight, dear friends, as we study the book of Daniel, let's not rejoice in this judgment, but let's be broken over this judgment. Let's be broken that listen, we are living in an age where people are rejecting God Almighty. I got a fly up here trying to persecute me. But we are living in a day where we have a responsibility to let folks know the truth of coming judgment. The truth that it can be avoided because it is not God's will for them to be judged in this manner. It is to be set free, like we sang in that first hymnal, that song that we sang together, the very fact that our sins are gone. They're gone. They're washed away. They're done away with. That is something we rejoice in, but we got to remember at the same time that there are many that have not received the forgiveness of sins. But boy, I'll tell you what, there's coming a day of reckoning here. The coordinator of this courtroom is bringing all things together and he's setting them in place perfectly. And something I want us to be encouraged with tonight about these characteristics of the coordinator, the Ancient of Days, is something that's very comforting to me. Because in our finite minds, sometimes if you're like me, we struggle with this. How is all this going to be fair? Well, friend, that is taken by faith, knowing that God is just. He's pure. He's going to judge perfectly. It's not going to be any injustice there. It's going to be totally fair. Because, you know, sometimes in our minds we're going to think, well, what about this person? Or what about this? And what about that? No, you got to remember and recall to trust the Lord God that when judgment does come, it will be done perfectly. And He will be fair. And He will give it exactly as it has been deserved. But I'm thankful tonight. I'm so thankful. And something we rejoice in together. That Jesus Christ took our judgment. I can't get over that. I hope we never get over that as a church. That we're never going to stand before God. For our sins. Those that have trusted in Christ. He took our judgment. He took our wrath. And my dear friend, that is done away with. And I'm so thankful, and I hope that is your testimony tonight. I hope you truly know Christ is your Savior. You know, as we study the book of Daniel, I know you say, well, preacher, you talk a lot about judgment. Listen, that is really the overriding theme in the book of Daniel, is judgment. We know what Daniel means. We know as we study, God is just using His servant Daniel to prepare the world for coming judgment. So let's not look over it, look beside it, look away from it. Let's let it change us to who we need to be for the glory of God. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day in eternity when we are able to be there and we're able to see all the people that have been changed by the gospel because of what we did as a church in making a difference. What we did for missionaries that are making a difference. I was so thankful to read in the bulletin this morning about Brother Hamby's testimony. About that family, Indian family, coming to know Christ. And the whole family got saved here, our brother up in Canada. Listen, you know what? We're going to see them in eternity and glory. And we're going to have a part of that. You know, I know thinking about the judgment, there can be brokenness. But I want to tell you, I'm looking for the positive aspect too. I'm looking forward to seeing those that we were able to have a small part in reaching with the love of Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice in that tonight, church. But let's not forget that judgment will come, and let's do everything we can to help those that the wrath of God, according to John 3:36, is abiding on, resting on, ready to be consumed at any time. May we be burdened and changed by the truth of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, I thank You that You are a perfect and righteous judge. And I don't ever have to worry about You being unfair. I know as a parent, Lord, I fail so many times being unjust. And for that, I'm sorry. But Lord, I know that I have a Heavenly Father that is a perfect judge. And You doeth all things well. And shall not the judge of all earth do right? And Lord, tonight I say, Lord, I believe with everyone here, we agree, God, we know that You will do all things right. And Lord, help us in the meantime, as Your servants, to share with a lost and dying world that they do not have to be a part of this judgment. Oh, that the Lord Jesus took their judgment in full. Oh, blessed God of heaven, I thank You for that great truth. Mighty God, we worship You tonight and thank You for that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we open it up an invitation here in just a minute, Christians praying. Perhaps tonight, dear friend, you would say, Pastor, I'm really not sure that I am ready to meet God. I just don't know. There's a doubt in my heart. I do not know if I'm ready to meet God, whether or not my sins are forgiven or not. And I've got to get this settled. I've got to get this settled. God is working in your heart. You say, Pastor Brinson, that is me tonight. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray for you, dear friend. I'm not going to call you out. Would you lift your hand? You could say, I am concerned whether or not I'm ready to meet God. Just show it by lifting your hand. It doesn't have to be high. Anybody? Okay? Believers, are we doing what we can? Forgiven. Sin's gone. What are we doing to a world that still stands with the wrath of God abiding on them? Father, we commit this invitation time to You. We do love You and praise You. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?